God, we are grateful for the ways that our hearts have connected with your Spirit. May we be aware of that as we sit in this space together, growing together and seeking to be your community together. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, despite how my doctor this week was very quick to remind me that I am no longer a spring chicken, I still have a tendency to gravitate towards media forms that are broadly associated with younger crowds. And so I'll mindlessly scroll through TikTok, and Instagram has their own version of that with reels and just these short videos that I just kind of like get sucked into. And each of them have like their own algorithms so that you kind of get like content that you're more likely to like so that you can kind of keep scrolling, right? And I've actually encountered a few videos that reminded me of the importance of bearing witness to God's love in the world. And so one of the creators I first encountered this week is Mike Prigden, whose channel is Mike Needs a Plan. Mike lost 100 pounds and loves talking about how to help people live healthy lifestyles. But he hates it when he sees people bully others or fat shame plus size folks. And so much so that he has a series of videos where he is watching videos made by these plus size creators that are documenting their journeys, sharing their experiences, or just having fun. And then he times how long it takes to find a bully in the comments with a Bible quote in their bio. I watched a few of them. The first one I saw was a lady who was celebrating losing 240 pounds and showing how much easier it is for her to sit in her driver's seat now. So Mike pauses the video, goes to the comments, starts the timer, and it takes him 5.15 seconds to find a bully in the comments with a Bible quote in the bio. Another one of just a group of plus-size women having a fun time doing a choreographed dance that I certainly couldn't pull off because the idea of me doing choreographed motions is just laughable at best. And they're doing this at Disney and having a blast. And while I'm not necessarily a Disney adult, I don't see any problem with people just finding joy in things. And so he goes, he pauses the video, goes to the comments, and it takes him 5.73 seconds to find a bully in the comments with a Bible verse in their bio. As I've shared before, I'm familiar with hateful Christians deciding to direct their hate at me, to the point where I'm used to the phrase, there is no hate like Christian love. And actually, just this morning, as I was going through threads, a theologian I follow, she was out in public with her wife, and a street preacher decided to show that there is no hate like Christian love while they were just trying to walk through the streets. And this past Monday morning, I woke up extra early to stand with my fellow clergy friends from many different traditions as we prayed over and prayed for Kilmar Abrejo Garcia. And when I arrived home later, I got to see all of the hateful Christian comments roll in for each of the pieces covering the story. And so when a friend of mine shared a video on TikTok from the creator Riki Tiki Tavi, I haven't watched like any of his other videos, but I've seen this one, I had to pause. It's a very short video, and I'll paraphrase it because he uses language that's a little stronger for a church service. He says, "I mean this with full offense. Not every Christian is a bad person. But dollars to donuts, the worst freaking person you know identifies as a Christian." Earlier this year, when our leadership team was discerning our values, the consensus was that we wanted evangelism to be a value. But most of the room had already had a negative experience with the word evangelism and felt like that evangelicalism and loud evangelicals had diminished the value of using the word. As we wrap up our time in 1 John, I wonder if we can get just a little bit more wisdom and inspiration from this letter and its context about how shall we live in a time when it seems that a large group of Christians don't embody the way of Christ. John argues that to know the way of Christ is to pay attention to the testimony or witness of God. The word that was translated as testimony in our reading today can also be translated as witness, which is the word described in our video from the Bible Project. So you may have noticed that, much like last week, John continues to use political language to argue that Christ offers a counter-empire way of being. Last week, we ended with 1 John 5, verse 6, so I'll share verses 6 through 8, which lead up to today's reading. It says, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree." The water and blood being the baptismal waters, and the way to, like all the way to the blood of Christ shed on the cross. So John is saying that we have God's witness through the life, ministry, death, and resurrection in Jesus Christ. And when we feel promptings from the Holy Spirit in ways that are consistent with John, with Jesus' embodied ministry on earth. If it doesn't match what Jesus did when he was doing his ministry, then it's not something that comes with the Holy Spirit. So John is asking, why don't we believe that the way of Jesus is enough? We believe human testimony in our court systems, and for the most part, and maybe it was better belief back in the day when John was writing. And if we believe these human testimonies, how do we not see God's testimony isn't even greater? Because Jesus is the one, the embodied witness of God's way of being, or the kingdom of God. So in the face of those bearing false witness to the way of Christ, John reminds us that the Holy Spirit will lead us in ways that are consistent with God's ways as embodied in the way of Jesus. This is closely aligned to what John Wesley was teaching about when it came to assurance of salvation. He deeply believed that we could experience the Holy Spirit, both the leading and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, in ways that align with the way of Jesus. Because of the faithfulness of Christ, we can experience salvation here and now. We can be saved from the harmful ways of empire. We can live within the flow of the witness of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, we can embody the ways of the kingdom of God in the face of the reign of empire. Because of the witness of Christ we receive through Jesus' life and ministry, death and resurrection, along with the witness of the Holy Spirit, we cannot help but also bear witness to this better way of being in the world, a way that embodies eternal life instead of death. And I did cut the reading a little short. We stopped at 13. Well, verse 13. To keep it easier, and even Paula said, like, oh, it's kind of short this week. The rest is him just kind of wrapping up his argument. But he does give three key points as he concludes. No, never mind. I can't even read my own notes. He concludes with just two more things. First, when you encounter those who are sinning, or embodying a way of that is counter to the way of Jesus, pray for them. Or if it's you yourself, seek repair for any relationships that were harmed and trust in the restorative powers of God's forgiveness. Now, it is interesting because John kind of goes on a tangent and he's like, well, if the sin that they're doing leads to death, just don't bother. And I think the reality is we live in such an interconnected world that I'm not certain that there are too many sins left that don't lead to some sort of death of something. And so, you know, maybe John's got some good points, like, but also, like, maybe not, I don't know. But the key thing being, if we see someone who is embodying a way counter to the way of Jesus, pray for them. Doesn't say fix them, change them, argue with them. Pray for them. And then, the very end of the letter, which I find kind of like interesting because you might remember from the beginning he refers to them as little children. And so at the very end, the last sentence is, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Period. There's no like, hope you're doing well, see you soon. It's just like, keep yourselves from idols. That's it. Stay away from the idols who want you to believe that they are the keepers of your salvation. Which, like, complete tangent for maybe five people in the room or maybe some people online. If you've seen K-pop Demon Hunters, like, that's kind of like what your idol's talking about, is like believing and trusting someone else for your salvation. And for most people, that went over your head, and that's okay. Netflix is amazing. It's a really good film, and yeah. I might have listened to the soundtrack 2 times during my 12-mile run yesterday and crafted an entire sermon series, which isn't necessarily the most useful thing right now, but I'll keep that in my pocket for another day. John is inviting us to live in a way that we are shaped by Christ instead of being shaped by or shaping our own idols. And while I think that John and the Gospels give us enough to discern how best to embody Christ in our modern society, our Methodist history, the social principles in the Book of Resolutions serve as excellent conversation partners. They give us more tangible next steps if you're looking for them. John Wesley visited the imprisoned, paid for their legal representation and advocacy, visited the sick, provided relief, advocated for the poor, cared and advocated for orphans, wrote extensive pamphlets, and spoke out against the slave trade and child labor, and publicly advocated for prison reform. They didn't just preach an eventual salvation, they embodied eternal life and salvation right where they were. Knowing the weekend that it is, it would have been useful if I remembered the full history, but I do understand that the founding of Labor Day is connected to some Methodists that were doing union work. Our original social creed sounded like just trying to get unions built to help take care of people and protect their rights and their human dignity as they work. The way of embodying Christ in our modern society, it continues through the publication of our social principles and Book of Resolutions of the United Methodist Church. These are created and updated by General Conference in the United Methodist Church every 4-ish years. COVID made it weird, but we're now back on schedule to hopefully do it every 4 years. And I've put some links in our link tree to the different things if you want to read the whole stuff, but I wanted to call out, there's a few things, because I love the Book of Resolutions and the social principles, and so I've been reminded of the United Methodist commitment to a few of these things from those two publications, just in this past week alone, because, man, it has been a week in our nation. So I've been reminded of the United Methodist commitment to seek laws that prevent or reduce gun violence. Do all that we can to protect the rights for people to peacefully address injustice, including divesting from companies that support and profit from nations who illegally occupy land. Welcome and advocate for the human dignity of migrants coming to the United States. Speak out against racial profiling and the criminalization of communities of color in the United States. Protect the voting rights of all citizens. Seek the abolition of torture and support the use of scientifically proven programs for vaccination. Now, if any of these make you go, I strongly encourage you to read the full social principles or the relevant sections of the Book of Resolutions, as each of them has a full multi-page, biblically based argument and grounding in the United Methodist tradition, and it's approved by a worldwide representation of clergy and lay folks across the globe. While the social principles and Book of Resolutions are only updated every 4 years, the United Methodist General Board of Church and Society, because we only love long-named things around here, they're tasked with interpreting these documents in the real world as things unfold. So if you're unsure as to how you can embody Christ in our world today, you can sign up for their emails or just see what they're up to at umcjustice.org. Also, a link that I conveniently put in the link tree because I feel like there's just a lot of resources this week. I'm reminded as I came in today that I had my little like star hanging out again. And we started this series talking about how we bear the light of Christ. And so all of this is tied to just being that radiant light of Christ in a world that is hurting and broken and sometimes feels like it's a couple steps away from falling apart right before our eyes, and other times it feels like the coolest place to be in. So, beloved, we live in a world so steeped in the ways of Rome that embodying the way of Christ can feel isolating. So my hope is that you see that you're not alone. We have these resources in our tradition that have been put together by hundreds of people as conversation partners and ways to engage with the modern day issues that we find ourselves in. And that together, as empowered by the testimony of the Holy Spirit, we can embody the ways of Jesus in the world that surrounds us. So let us pray. God, so often we see and understand and read and hear about the ways that Jesus engaged the people that surrounded them. And we look at what Jesus was up to and go, I don't know about that. We get this mental block where only Jesus can handle those things. Help us to remember that we are empowered by the testimony of Jesus. From the waters of Jesus' baptism and going all the way back to the waters of Jesus coming out of the womb of Mary, all the way to the blood that he shed on the cross. And that the testimony of the way that Jesus lived can feel daunting, which is why we also have the testimony of the Holy Spirit guiding us to people to work together, to people committed to your love, to people ready to build a better world. Because we all know that we all deserve better. So may you be with us and guide us so that we can love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously as representatives of your liberating love. Amen.